pen. I forgot his name, but that's the reason why she's more on the glaucoma.
Right. Well, it must be really reassuring for you to have your daughter being a medical doctor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm older and, you know, she takes care of me, sort of speak, you know?
That's great.
When I need someone, she's my only daughter. I have three children, but three boys, and she's the youngest. And then close by, I usually have dinner there. And
wonderful.
Because I'm 86, and you know how it is. It's, some days are good, some days are, you know, not too. I try not to cook too much. I keep on saying that I have dementia, but she doesn't think so for
me. Well, she knows you. How about other two children of yours?
Three more. One in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the, he has two kids. And one of them just graduated from the University of Washington.
Wonderful.
You know, they live in Washington.
Right, right. It's a great university.
Yeah, good university. She's so happy because she has a job. I guess job is hard to come by, you know, nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays it's really hard to find a good one that you can like.
Yeah. I think she's going to like this job. And she's one of those. She's this one. Well, they come every year practically, you know, in the summer and stuff. This is my husband that passed away, you know. And then they love the beach, and I guess Washington doesn't have that kind of beach. You know?
This is her,
and this is the brother, younger brother.
So they are your grandchildren.
Yeah. I have four, and this little girl is my daughter's. You know the one that went, Lauren. And my oldest son, the one on the left side, his name is Craig, and the oldest son, and he has a daughter, Jill, and she is in medicine too.
Oh wow, there are lots of medical doctors in your family then.
Yeah, I have four kids, four grandchildren, and two of them are. One of them. Yeah.
One of them. Yeah.
Yeah, this one here. Let me see. She is in
this woman here in black. Okay.
Now this is the one that graduated. Now this is my son and a wife, and this one goes to college yet. And this, he doesn't have children. He has. His daughter is this.
Okay. And so you have three sons and one daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
and,
great.
And what about your family? You have a big family?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Four kids is kind of big, you know?
Yeah, nowadays it is.
People have only one or two.
So usually when I talk to people, I have a few questions that I start a conversation with. And one of the first is usually about people's childhood. So if you can tell me where you were born, when, and what you remember about your parents, that would be great.
I was born here, island. But in Waimea, which is way up in the middle of the mountain on the North Shore. And what happened is my parents came from Hiroshima as an immigrant. My mother came later, but, you know, my father, and worked for this plantation. The plantation was a pineapple plantation. And then I understand... Well, I was born 27, but depression, when I was little, I guess they had depression, like 1930. I can't remember too well, but the pineapple had kind of went down, and he started to work for for this plantation that had grow sugarcane. And this was on the shore side. You see, pineapple is, I guess, got to be in a mountain, you know. And then so it was in Laie, in a North Shore. They have Turtle Bay over there, hotel. Around there, you know, and they call the place Kahuku.
Kahuku.
I wasn't born in Kahuku, but I spent at least more than 5 years. Maybe I was 10 when I went to Japan, so I was there 6-7 years, I think.
Okay, so you were born in what year is it?
1927.
1927, and you spent 6 or 7 years of your first years of your life here. And
here,
then went to Japan?
No. I spent, total 10 years here.
Okay.
I was 10.
Okay.
37. Could be 38, but around 37.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being around 10.
Mm-hmm.
I always said 10. So, and when I came back, I was 20.
So you were there in Japan for 10 years and then came
10
back
years.
After the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 and a half years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
During the war years, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you remember about your childhood that you spent here in Hawaii?
Well, you know, I came from a big family.
Uh-huh.
I had younger brothers, couple, younger sisters, couple, and above me, around 4.
Uh-huh.
I think it was 9 or 10.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I don't remember one or two of them that died when they were little.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we had 10 kids, or 9 kids.
9 kids,
yeah.
Wow.
I'll show you one of the pictures. But this is not all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Big family, but it was not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
On the plantation,
right,
people had big family.
Big family.
Birth control those days.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's why. I was going to show you my parents and a few of ours in there, but the picture should have had it ready. No, I don't see them now. Or here. I wish I had more of my pictures while I was in Japan,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have much, you know why? A lot of pictures when I was in high school got burned.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, this is one of the pictures that, you know, we have. This is my mother in a plantation. And one, two, three. Actually, there was another one that died, and me and my brother, but had more, three or four more after that.
You know, I love to have you show me those pictures, maybe after an interview is over, because I sometimes ask people to allow me to make copies of those pictures. Yeah.
You could take pictures with the iPhone.
Yeah. I have actually a scanner with me, so I will ask you to show me more. So tell me a little more about what your life was like when you were growing
when
up.
When I was growing
young.
Up.
Yeah.
Well, it was in a plantation. And my father works in a field. And my mother used to take care of the kids, I guess. And mm-hmm. sometimes she would help some of those single workers, you know, mm-hmm. with laundry and stuff. She was a very hardworking person.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I just ran around. I was only before 10, right?
Uh-huh.
With my brothers, you know, all my friends around the plantation
uh-huh.
as other kids.
Right, yeah.
I'm just, you know, carefree, running around and, you know. But when my aunt and uncle, who didn't have, this is old picture, so I thought maybe my... My aunt and uncle, who two sets of auntie and uncle,
mm-hmm.
didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, this is my uncle and my auntie.
Is this on the ship?
Hmm?
It looks like it may be on the ship.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
1970. Yeah.
Sasamaru. Yeah,
well, they used to go on a ship, you know, go back and forth Japan.
Right, yeah.
You see, and then my parents in a plantation with 9 kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, as I say, it wasn't unusual to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Next door had 8 kids. Across the street, all the Japanese family had 7, 8 kids or 10 kids, you know.
Uh-huh. So were they all people from Japan? They were just Hawaii to work for...
Contract workers.
Contract workers, right,
I guess,
yeah.
You know, so that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they recruit in Hiroshima. Hiroshima has the port, you know.
Right.
So it was easy to get, you know, people from Hiroshima, the farmer's boy or whatever, go and apply to come to America and
uh-huh.
work.
Uh-huh.
Because I guess, you know, Japan was worse than here. Didn't
mm-hmm.
have too much job. My father's father was a small town Kocho sensei.
Oh, he was.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Educator, but
mm-hmm.
my father, I don't know, they must have a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know of more than 5 in the family, and, you know, was, I guess, depression or something, and
mm-hmm.
he had to, you know, get employment elsewhere. He didn't have too much education,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, few years, because the father was educator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he didn't have too much. He used to go work for this brewer close by.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, you know, my father and my mother got together.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was my father's family.
So your father came to Hawaii around what year? Do you know?
I can't remember, but it's my oldest sister was born around 10 years before me, so
uh-huh.
must have been 1920, maybe around 1915.
Right,
or,
yeah, right. How about your mother's side family?
She came after a while.
Right.
The family knew each other.
Uh-huh. Did they know each other while they were
I don't think so. They didn't know. In Japan, they didn't
uh-huh.
know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got to know each other here.
Well, the family said, oh, you should go and get married to, you know, my father, because they knew my father.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The family knew my father or something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
How about daily life when you were growing up as a child here? So do you have a memory of any favorite food that you had when you were little?
I wasn't particular.
Uh-huh.
I ate anything I want. But I noticed, you know, my father used to have chicken.
Oh.
In a plantation, have quite a bit of yard, you know, small
mm-hmm.
house with yard, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used to graze chicken,
mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, and then he kill them, and then we eat chicken sukiyaki or something like that.
Ah, okay.
Kind of food. And then we have the eggs, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think my father had too much salary. Very, very, you know, hard to raise 10 kids, so you have to kind of, you know. And he used to raise vegetables, onions, uh-huh. and eggplant.
Uh-huh.
And that
oh,
was
really?
My favorite food.
Eggplant.
And then string beans uh-huh. and all that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So in Kahuku, the eggplant grows really good. Sandy kind of soil
uh-huh.
and a lot of heat. I mean, you know, hot place mm-hmm. on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to get eggplants a lot.
So do you think that your parents cook mostly Japanese-style meals?
Yeah,
uh-huh. yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My mother cooked Japanese food only.
Uh-huh.
We hardly had meat. I don't think, you know, the market sold a lot of meat or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was really hard to come by.
Mm.
Maybe canned kind of, you know, beef once in a while, but modestly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford anything that's, you know, luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about the language within your family? Did you speak mostly in Japanese, or did you mix Japanese and English, or mostly
yeah,
English?
We used to go to Honganji, and I had a little bit Japanese.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you mean like a school that you go
after school.
After school,
yeah.
Right, right.
All the Japanese kids used to go to the Honganji.
Interesting.
There's one Japanese temple.
Uh-huh.
I mean, temple, Honganji. And most Japanese kids, after school, they go there.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, some learn more and some don't learn too much. But I remember all my classmates went.
Mm.
So I went too.
Did you look forward to going to the Japanese language school, or did you not like it?
I never hated, but
uh-huh.
I went because my friends went too.
Oh.
And then after that, we play, you know, we uh-huh. go on the ocean side. You see, this town is located right by the, close to the ocean. Just
mm.
like this town is, you know, close to the ocean. But we used to live quite a bit. Really close. You just walk and here's the ocean.
Right.
We used to play in sand dunes, alongside the ocean, swimming and stuff like that.
Mm.
But the Japanese school was right in the middle of that plantation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, plantation, they supply the house, you know.
Uh-huh.
My father works for the plantation, so we have this modest small house.
Right.
Mm, and I guess it was free.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
It was included in
the contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have any extra money, but we could go to the store and just buy necessity things, I think.
Right.
I didn't go, but my mother and my older sister used to go. And you charge it.
Mm.
And then the company just take it out of your salary, you know.
So you don't actually use cash. You just have it taken away from your salary.
We all tons of money, you know,
uh-huh.
like, but it's okay,
mm.
if we're going to buy bread and necessity things, they let you charge, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't have no luxury, we have to eat ice cream and stuff like that, no, we don't have those things.
Yeah.
And he tried to grow, you know, vegetables and
right.
lettuce and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we don't need to buy, yeah, outside.
Right, right. It makes sense. Yeah.
With all the kids.
Right.
Like my brother was around 13 years old, and there was a golf course. It's
mm-hmm.
still there,
mm-hmm.
but he used to already 12 or 13, and he used to have a job caddying during the weekends and all that, you know.
Mm.
And my older sister, this one, she was.
Uh-huh.
She was around 15, maybe, you know, when I was little.
Uh-huh.
And
so she's the one, like, 10 years older than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
She's 92. She's not 10 years older, yeah, 6 years older. I
uh-huh.
had one
yeah.
that 10 years older, but she died.
Oh, I see. Oh,
yeah.
So she's 6 years older.
Around 6 years older
mm-hmm.
than me.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. And her name is Dorothy. She's in a nursing home now, and she's 91 or 2.
Mm,
yeah,
92, right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and she's living. But the next one, he died. He was in a service.
Oh.
When I was in Japan, he came to look for me.
Mm.
Occupational terror, I mean,
oh,
you know, true.
My God,
and
yeah.
This one, she died,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, already. Mm. And this is me, and this younger brother, mm. He's dead. I mean, he was 82 mm. or something, and he died
mm.
4 or 5 years ago.
Going back to your school days here in Hawaii, so you were going to two schools, so to speak. One is public school, I assume, in Hawaii, local school, and another was a Buddhist church school.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that at Buddhist church school, you had just Japanese friends, right? People who were mm-hmm. children of Japanese first-generation
yeah,
immigrants.
Japanese, yeah, how about plantation.
Yeah, how about the public school? Did you have lots of
yeah,
different kinds of
kind
students?
Of with mixed,
different...
but Orientals, mm-hmm. mostly Orientals, and not too many Polynesians,
uh-huh.
and then some, maybe 10-20% of like Portuguese and Haoles, you know.
Right.
Haoles.
Yeah.
They were, you know, on a they work in office, or they're Luna, they're top brass people, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're white people.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not contract workers. I mean, they're born and raised here, kind of, you know.
Right.
And my father hardly can speak English, so he's just a common worker. And
right.
Those guys are the ones that, you know, take care of the, I guess, the whole plantation.
Right, they're the
around
owner.
20%. So
yeah.
The kids are going to that school.
Uh-huh.
And then... the rest, maybe 10%, is Polynesian, Hawaiian,
uh-huh.
something, but
uh-huh.
very little.
Uh-huh.
And those days, you know, now a lot of people, a lot of Polynesians live there because they have the culture center.
Mm, oh,
they
do.
From Samoa and all over the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But those days, had the Mormon temple,
mm-hmm.
but didn't have, you know, those Samoans that time. And mostly Oriental, but maybe 75% Oriental. But in that Oriental, half of them, not half. Well, I would say 80%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe half would be 40%. So 50%. Japanese.
Okay.
From Okinawa, or that's still Japanese, right?
Uh-huh.
And the rest, the 40%, 30% are Filipinos.
Uh-huh, okay.
From the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
And some of them have wives and a family, because
mm-hmm.
I used to go to school with those Filipino family, you know, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones that married.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of single ones.
Mm.
Filipinos. They
mm-hmm.
just, I don't know when they came, but you know, later than my father, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Single, they're not married, but
right.
they live in a plantation, you know, two men here and two, around four of them in one house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They provide house, because my, right in the back of our house was Filipino
mm-hmm.
workers.
Mm-hmm. How about Chinese? Did you have any Chinese students
Very
at school?
Little.
Uh-huh.
Very
but they were
little.
There, a
yeah.
few.
You know, funny thing, the Chinese came as a contract workers, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they came before my father had came,
right.
most of them. And
uh-huh.
at that time, I guess Chinese were coming, but they weren't contract workers, you know. They
uh-huh.
come as a business, or I don't know what they come from, but they come. And... most of the very little Chinese remain. They come as a contract workers,
mm-hmm.
but they don't stay in a plantation. I don't know how long they have to stay, you know, when the time for the maybe 5-year contract, I don't know.
Right.
When it's over,
uh-huh.
they never stayed in a plantation.
Huh. They go back to their country? Or
no, they never go
elsewhere.
Back to the country.
Oh.
But they, if they stay in a plantation, they work elsewhere. Or no, they cannot stay in a plantation house. But if
mm.
they stay around there, they have a little store. Or they're business, you know, minded, you know, Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Japanese, they come as a contract worker, and probably like my father, you know, they end up working for the company until the company dissolved.
Uh-huh.
But Chinese, they don't stay in a plantation.
Uh-huh. They probably move on to something else then.
Yeah. They go in Honolulu and sell manapua'o.
Uh-huh.
You know, they make something and then sell. Uh-huh. Very enterprising, you know, Chinese.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they did in China. Hmm. But, you know, my father, them, they, if either they work in a farm or they work someplace, they're not, you know, their parents weren't selling manapua'o, or they weren't selling vegetables on the street or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So your father, when he was still back in Hiroshima, when he was a young man, did he have experience of doing a farming, or was
I think he did.
He did, okay.
But also worked for a brewing company.
That's right, okay.
Shoyu and all kind of stuff.
Right.
He works around, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess cleaning. He wasn't a brewer. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some, you know, he didn't have special skill, but work around,
right.
You know.
Right.
And
right.
Then also farming too, because he was, that town that he lived in, although the father was a, you know, a small, that small town Japanese school in principal, that's what I heard. But he wasn't, my father wasn't working as a teacher or nothing, and then they're all farmers' kids there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where the father was teaching Japanese,
I guess,
you know?
I see.
So he did farming too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, you know, being a contract worker, he thought the farming's going to be over here, it's going to be like that.
Mm.
But, you know, he started to work in a plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I think the farmers' kids, they feel that if they don't have a job, and, you know, in Japan, you have few siblings and then you have small land. Normally, the farmers don't own the land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a landlord own the land.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have enough revenues. That's why they go out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The job, huh?
Right.
So he came to Hawaii. And then also his brother, younger brother, came too.
Uh-huh.
And he went to Hilo, this big island.
Yeah, right.
And they had plantations and pineapple fields and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, his younger brother was different from my father. He was very intellectual, so he writes letters for everybody. In Hilo, I understand, he was writing letters, you know, to the Japan family.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd take care of the people like, you know, like the father did.
Mm, I see.
He very
as
intellectual.
Yeah,
he used to come here and, you know, he was very different from my father.
Uh-huh.
My father was quiet and he's satisfied with working in a plantation.
Mm-hmm.
But this uncle, he worked in a plantation,
mm-hmm.
but he was connected to the Honganji and take care of those plantation workers, you know, because he was, I think, educated.
Mm, I see.
Like, because the father was educated, right?
He was educated. Uh-huh.
So he writes letter for everybody and teach a lot of things.
Maybe that, keep family together.
Yeah. That was the uncle. My father wasn't like that.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you have non-Japanese friends when you were little? I mean, I'm thinking of, did you, you know, have a friend who were Caucasians? Did you have a friend with Chinese, I mean, of Chinese? Or,
yeah? Yeah, I had friends. When I went to school, from Laie to Kahoku school, my classmates, you know, all mixed, right?
Right, right.
The Filipinos and white, Caucasian, Japanese, and I had across the street had this Caucasian family, and I was a good friend of the girl in the same class. That's
right. Right.
And then I, my sister them were very close to a lot of Filipino family and Filipino friends, but my friends were limited to the one that goes to the Honganji, all Japanese.
Oh, right.
And then some other friends, I guess, you know.
It's interesting. So tell me a little bit about the reason why your family or maybe yourself went back to Japan and how things were like once you arrived there.
Oh, you see, as I say, you know, we had a lot of kids,
mm-hmm.
and my parents had a hard time,
right?
You know,
yeah,
financially. So, and this is my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was the youngest of 8 or 10 or something,
mm-hmm.
in Japan, that is. And she was the youngest. And before that is this auntie.
Uh-huh.
This is my mother's, you see, sister.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't have any children.
I see.
And
she was back in Japan at that time. Or was she also here?
Oh, he is, when he was 15 or 16, went to America. Los Angeles.
Oh, he did.
And then they sent her, the family knew each other,
uh-huh.
so sent my auntie, and they got married.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, he was young yet.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't have children.
No, they didn't have children. And this one here is older than this one.
Uh-huh.
And I only have this picture, but I have another one, but oh, this one here. See? These two are sisters. See, this one here is this. And
uh-huh.
then older sister is this.
Uh-huh.
My mother had 3 in a family. The rest, 5 or 6 of them were boys. But they died kind of young.
Uh-huh.
And then 3 of them are... 3 sisters,
mm-hmm.
she had. No, 2 sisters, so 3 girls, right? 2 of them didn't have children,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was the youngest,
mm-hmm.
and she had, you know,
a lot of kids.
10 or something. Right?
Yes.
But this aunties, both of them didn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, and they were very in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
My uncle was a very successful businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he come from a family where the parents still have the house, but the parents used to do was in a farm, Kabe, it's a farm district,
mm-hmm.
and everybody bring, you know, the rice, you know, when they harvest, they bring it. And his parents had the meal, like, you know, making
mm-hmm.
to rice,
right,
you know,
right.
that grain.
Right.
So I don't know what kind of machine, but are they making to rice?
Uh-huh.
That meal that the parents had. So, you know, he's gonna, but he was the second son.
Mm.
The oldest son gonna have that meal and all the estate, you know, but he wasn't gonna get anything. So when
right.
he was 15, he said, okay, I'm gonna go to America and, you know, see what my how my life. Very, very smart and very energetic and then very driven.
Mm-hmm.
This man was.
Right.
This is my auntie's husband.
Right, right.
He was the one that when I was 10, you know, they give some money to my parents, you know, and stuff like that. She was helping.
Mm.
But told my parents, it was 1938,
mm-hmm.
and they had this Olympic Hotel in Los Angeles.
Oh, you mean he was the owner?
Yeah,
of
he
the
was
hotel?
The owner.
Uh-huh.
And the government, being it's an Olympic Hotel,
uh-huh.
they had a lot of this Japanese naval people and all kind of people stay in the hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then the government of Japan said to him, we have, you know, been negotiating with America, but things are not doing too good on 1938,
mm-hmm.
or not doing good.
Right.
And being you in Los Angeles, and you had, you know, helped Japan a lot, having all those cadets, you know, these kind of people stay in the hotel,
uh-huh,
you
uh-huh.
know. I think if they would you know, have ball, you are certainly going to be in a concentration camp.
Right.
Or you might get killed.
Uh-huh.
Because some of them, the soldiers were, you know, spying on each other, right?
Mm.
You cannot say they were bad, but, you know, spying, they stay in a hotel, all the cadets. Not only those cadets, a lot of them are high-ranking people, you know?
Mm-hmm. So did he then...
See, this is my uncle. They used to go back and forth on the boat.
Right, right.
See, these people were, see, his name is Sawano.
Uh-huh.
Mr. and Mrs. Sawano, and I'm pretty sure he is one of the, you know, kind of top brass too. 1934 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks 34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those days, they were going back and forth.
Uh-huh. So, did he then come back to Japan?
That's when he took me.
Right,
he
right.
He was going to take me and my younger brother, but then, you know, within a year, he developed a kidney problem, and he died. So, you know, took about 1 year before I got the permission, you know, to leave here. You know, all kinds of relatives we have to go through, you know?
Right, so you mean, let me be clear. So he was in L.A. and was an important person locally, but then he was given a warning that if you stay there and if the war starts out, then you'll be in concentration camp. So why don't you come back?
In danger, so, yeah.
Right, so did he come back then to Japan? And then he took you in?
Yeah.
I
That's
see.
When he decided to sell the hotel.
I see.
To one Japanese American citizen, because he's not American citizen, you know?
Oh, he's not. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, to American citizen on 1937 or 8. That's when I went. He took me and went to Japan because they don't have heirs, you know?
Right.
And my parents were having hard times. So
right.
My auntie always said, oh, you get too many kids.
Right.
You cannot even educate your kids and blah, 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 blah. Every time they go back and forth, my mother had to dress us up, not all of us. But that's one of the picture, you know. And then got to meet her.
Right.
In Honolulu.
Yeah.
And she gives my mother money, you know. So we have something, you know, in between. Every other year they used to go back and forth to Japan. You know.
So what was your impression of Japan? That was the first time for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think?
I guess it was okay, but different. You know?
How so?
Yeah, I had to start speaking only Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it didn't take me too long.
Well, you had some Japanese because you were learning it.
My parents spoke Japanese.
Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
Right.
See, this is one of the trips that they were in a boat, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to make a copy of those pictures if you can give me a time afterward. Yeah,
yeah,
those are really wonderful
because
images.
I think his name would be in one of those, you know, in LA they have those old history of the American and Japanese, you know, Japanese. That I kept a lot of those old pictures.
Right,
this is one of them. But most of them burned because I had it in my town. This auntie's. I had two aunties, so while I was working, you know, I go to her auntie's house, and I had most of my belongings there, and then her house went down.
Because of the bomb, you
this
mean?
This is me, yeah.
Yeah. Which one is yours? Tell me
the
again.
One on.
Over here at the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The very
this
far
one,
end.
The end.
Okay.
I was kind of tall, you know?
Yeah, you are.
When my uncle and auntie started you know, when they were younger, before they bought the hotel, they had this soda works. See, this is my uncle and this is my auntie. 1937,
Mercy.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hardworking people. White soda, white star soda. They bought it from somebody, but, you know, they made it big. And that was the beginning of his, you know.
So this is in Los Angeles, am
yeah.
I right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, this is a wonderful picture.
Yeah. They said they worked really hard, you know.
Yeah. So tell me a little more about your impression of Japan. Or did you make friends quickly? Were school teachers kind to you?
I made friends, you know. When I went to Japan, you see, my aunt and uncle still was going 1938, 37,
mm-hmm.
38, 39. They sold the hotel,
mm-hmm.
but they were going back and forth.
They still
could go on a boat and go,
right,
you know?
Right.
And they left me with this auntie.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They didn't have children either.
Right.
But she lives in Hiroshima City,
uh-huh.
and my aunt and uncle home is Kabe, which is, I don't know how many miles we call it, but you know, with the fast train, about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So it's outside of city
outside,
of Hiroshima.
Yeah. Outskirts, where all the farmers are, you know. As I say, the uncle's parents used to have the mill, right? And
mm-hmm.
surrounded with farmers, rice paddies.
Mm-hmm. Did you like Japanese customs? Because I ask you this because some people who were in a similar situation, people who grew up in Hawaii or in mainland and then suddenly came back to Japan, find it difficult to kind of adjust themselves to a new environment because the food is different, the toilet is different.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have easy access to coffee, which they are very accustomed to.
When they are older, I think they have a harder time.
Right, okay.
I was only 10.
Yeah.
I have nothing at home, you know, really.
Mm.
Very conservative. The food wasn't luxury food,
mm-hmm.
you know. Japanese food, but very, very modest kind of, you know.
Right.
So here I go to Japan, and I didn't, you know, I thought it was wonderful.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I eat better. They treat me better. And only the language, a little bit, I think, for a couple of years.
Right.
But I made friends, and
uh-huh.
I stayed with the auntie
uh-huh.
and went to Hiroshima City
uh-huh.
public school.
Uh-huh,
you know?
I see.
And for 1 year or so, and then went to Jogakko, which is the middle school.
Uh-huh. So...
And I made a lot of friends, and it's, you know... you know, I wasn't at back home, you know. I was one of the 8 kids or 10 kids. I just ran around, did nothing. I didn't have any attention. No, I go to my aunties. They don't have children, right?
Right, so all their focus and affection
is
focused on you.
Yeah, I never had it so good,
you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Although I miss my family, but, you know,
right.
they were wonderful.
Mm, that's very nice.
To me.
Yeah.
So, so it was great, you know?
So now, I know that Hiroshima had a lot of people like you and your family, meaning people who went to Hawaii or Hiroshima, to America's mainland before the war, and then just came back or happened to be in Japan during the wartime. Did you have other friends like yourself who had a family back in Hawaii or in mainland?
Yeah, I had 4 or 5.
4 or 5 at your school?
In high school, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
They weren't my, maybe own, they were friends, but not my best friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they were 4 or 5 and nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back when I came back, about
mm-hmm.
the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they live one in town and a couple the other side. You
uh-huh.
know? Yeah.
Do you think the people who had a connection with America or Hawaii stood out or were different in any way from other, you know, Japanese students?
No, I don't think so.
Mm.
You mean children to children, no?
Right, right.
I had great friends, and they were really wonderful. I don't know about the government.
Mm.
You know.
So when the war started out with America, did you have any reaction to it, or do you think that your auntie or your uncle?
A lot of people, they didn't know I was, you know, my close friend knew,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't care, you know, I'm what you call or not. American citizen, dual citizen I had,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was younger. But no, I didn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that remember is, you see, when my auntie picked me, every year she goes back and forth, she mm-hmm. asks, you know, my mother, how's the kids doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some good, some bad. My older sister, like the one I told you, in nursing home, she's the oldest. And she's the best. She writes Japanese mm-hmm. and she corresponds. My auntie them in Los Angeles and mm-hmm. say, you know, my mother had another child or kind of stuff. You know, she answers. So my aunt wanted her.
Oh.
But my parents cannot give her up because she got to take care of the, you know, siblings, right?
Right,
she's
right,
older.
Right.
So couldn't. And she always said, okay, now you bring everybody's report card. You tell me who's the next. She was intelligent too.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the next best in
yeah.
your kids? Because according to my sister's, what you call story, I was only 10, so I care less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She said my auntie was very particular. She said, if I'm going to bring kids, I cannot bring the one that's not too good in school.
Mm-hmm.
I want a smart kid from your 8, 10 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's smart, but you cannot give this girl up, you know.
Right, right.
Wow, who's the next smartest? Who's the next? So I was the second. You know, I was 10, so I was
right.
this age, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what she told me. I was the second, and that's when, it's only 1-2 years after I went to Japan.
Uh-huh.
I was in that school. And then my brother was the third. They wanted one boy too, the one that died, I told you. And the rest didn't. This boy is the son, so they don't want to take this one.
Right.
My older brother, you know. He was intelligent. But this one wasn't too smart. This one wasn't too smart.
Mm.
My younger sister, who's Florence now, she was pretty good. But
mm-hmm.
the others weren't as good
mm-hmm.
in school, you know. So I was picked because, you know,
you were
I was good.
Uh-huh.
That's what my sister said. You were second best next to me.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she wanted somebody that's pretty smart, and she doesn't want little babies. My
mm-hmm.
sister was around 3 years old or 2 years old. She doesn't want it. Hard enough to raise little kids, so because she was going back and forth.
Right, right.
So she wanted 8 to 10 years old, you know.
Right.
Just when you can still go to Japan and get adjusted, go to Japanese school, and then you can keep up, you know.
Right, right.
So she said ideal would be around 8 years old, or even me, you know, 10
mm-hmm.
years old is
yeah.
too late, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they wanted,
right.
me to live there, you know. Anyway, I was picked because of that. That's
mm-hmm.
what my sister said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so immediately, you know, I had to go to Japanese school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But didn't take me too long, 1 or 2 years, and I was, you know, just
mm-hmm.
as good as the
mm-hmm.
others. First year, I said, oh, when you speak, how come you speak a little bit different, you know,
than
the Japanese?
Yeah.
Second year, very little. Third year, I was just as good as the Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Nobody would know that I was, you know, half American.
Mm-hmm.
So
again.
It took
Can I
me
leave
a couple.
Downstairs,
okay.
And
oh. Can you go downstairs and take care of what? Go bring that what you call, because Mimi, I forgot to lock that place up. Oh, bring that.
What?
Which one was you?
Yeah. There. To wipe it.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah, go downstairs.
Which one of them are you?
Huh?
What? Which one of them are you?
What? What?
Because Mimi dropped something. If she's going downstairs, you better clean it good. But anyway.
Which one of them are you?
Oh, guess.
That one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Your mom needs help.
So what do you think that your parents or your relatives or uncles and aunts thought about the war between Japan and America?
Well, my uncle said he's so fortunate that he's in Japan. Mm. All the time he lived there. Until I came back, and 3 years later he passed away. But the 10 years, although he had diabetes, you know, and his medicine ran out in 5-6 years. That's why he died when he was 60-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
My auntie died by cancer. She was 60-something too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't live too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lifestyle. I guess they went... Huh?
Where are the paper towels?
Oh, the downstairs have one too.
Yeah, that's what. And then my mom's like, no, it's around there.
Yeah.
Mom, they're right there.
In a bathroom, I think.
Oh.
See, the minute somebody comes, it's this house become chaos. With her, especially the little one.
So do you think that they were thoughtless? Nothing, they didn't really think anything about the war? Or do you think that they had some ideas about what might happen or what could go on?
No, they didn't have. No, they thought war is war, yes. Oh, they may have, but they didn't tell me.
Mm.
My uncle only said that, oh, he's so lucky.
Mm. Because he won't be placed in incubator.
He didn't have any communication then when the war started, but...
Right.
He knew what was going to happen. They had, you know, the government in Japan had said that it was going to be very, very hard for you to live there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because you had helped the Navy, you know?
Right, right.
Japanese Navy so much that the first target, first thing they're going to do is just grab you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And where's all the... They think that all the spies were there in his hotel, because not too many Japanese hotels. It was on the Olympic, which is 110 rooms or something. That's bigger than another one in Los Angeles, Miyako.
Oh, I see.
Had only two, and a lot of them were staying in my uncle's hotel, you know? This kind of, you know, the admirals and all kind of people.
Right.
So he was targeted.
Right. Weren't you worried about your parents, though? They were still back in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And so were your siblings.
Yeah.
Right.
In
what
Hawaii.
What did you think?
I wasn't worried because they bombed, what you call, you know?
Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor is far from where Kahuku is.
Uh-huh.
On the other end, right.
Uh-huh. But I mean, most people in Hawaii, Japanese and Japanese Americans, weren't sent to relocation camps, but there are some leaders of local communities who were sent out to mainland. Didn't you worry about them?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I thought of it, but I wasn't really worried. I don't know. I was too young to worry about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't concern me, like, you know.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is, I don't know, from 10 to 18, I never worried about my family. Oh, I didn't have, how they had communication when the war started.
Right.
I never worried because I figured, well, they're going to be safe with all of them, you know?
Mm.
And because they're not in Honolulu.
Mm.
You know, when you're in, way in a country, you know, you don't have... And my auntie and uncle... They made the most of it. They had some land which they had to let go because the farmers, you know, the Makata law got affected, and you cannot hold, unless you're a farmer, you cannot hang on to your land, you know, farmland.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold it to his longtime farmer that, you know, that he was a good friend with. really, really like so cheap, you know. The farmers were so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they said, you know, the farmer's richer than the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he had some things, another land.
Okay.
Yeah, he sold that, you know, the 10 years or 12 years that he stayed, because he doesn't have a job, you know. He did community work. Mm-hmm. A lot of community work,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't have a job, and his money, what they did is the Japanese government, when he went to Japan and he had so much money, they froze all the money,
mm-hmm.
and they give you allow only 500 yen or whatever, you know, just to live. When the war ended,
mm-hmm.
the evaluation of that money became 360.
Right.
You know?
Right.
To $1.
Right.
His tons of dollars became so little, few thousand yen,
that's,
you know?
Right, right, yeah.
And that was really hard to live.
I'm sure.
And yeah. Because, you know, his down payment, his money that he got from the hotel, you know,
mm-hmm.
it all was in a bank. He didn't know they were going to freeze it.
That's right, that's
and
right.
And during the wartime, you know, you cannot take the money out, cannot buy anything, and you only got to live modestly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a lot of strain, but he didn't complain.
Mm.
My auntie didn't complain. He thought maybe he was going to get shot anyway. In America, you know?
Mm-hmm. Going back in the time a little bit, tell me about how your life might have changed after the war started. Did you notice any difference between during this time period? I mean, many people say things have changed. That's the reason why I'm asking you, but maybe your experience is different.
From when to when?
Before the war and after the war started.
My life?
Yeah,
there's a lot of changes financially, you know. A lot of changes, but I didn't live there that long, you know, after the war.
Mm-hmm. After the war started.
The war started?
Right.
Well, it's a great difference, but, you know, I thought, you know, everybody got to do the most of it. I didn't have any, you know. Bad experience.
Mm-hmm. How about things like food?
Yeah, was terrible, but everybody had the same kind of Russian food. And
Russian
they don't
food.
Have food,
okay.
But you see, I have my auntie, you know, countryside.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Because,
yeah.
as I say, you know, they in the middle of the farmland.
Right.
And the farmer, you know,
is
their good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have too much problem with rice and
stuff. Right,
so,
that's
know,
what I was told
I got,
by others too.
Yeah, right. The country people.
Right, they had veggies,
they had
rice.
Yeah, right. So one in a city, my uncle, the husband died in an atomic bomb.
Oh, really?
And the house got burned and she got hurt. And 10 days later, she came to my auntie's place. You know, she was saved. We were looking all over for her, you know, the bomb. She stayed in a city.
I see.
She, you know, didn't have, she had a little bit problem. But my uncle then, in the middle of the farmland, although they weren't farming, somehow they had enough rice at least.
Mm-hmm.
They always had rice. I don't know who gave them or how he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But he
but
had a lot
had
of
it.
Friends, that's why I guess.
So tell me a little bit about what you were doing and how things happened on August 6th. You told me that you were going to school in the city of Hiroshima. Is that where you were at the time?
Yeah, you see, a couple of years before that, you see, when you were 18 or 19, no. You know, Japan system was different. You go 6th grade and then you go... was it 3rd grade? 6, 7, 8. No, 7, 8, 9, 10. 4 years of jogakko.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you graduate. And I was, I cannot remember, but anyway, after that, my school, you see, it was a private school, Yamanaka Kojo.
Right.
But this during the war years, this the owner of the school, a private, she didn't have heirs too. She gave that the school and the big property that they had to the government.
Mm-hmm.
She turned it in, and then she just, I don't know where she retired, but her name was Yamanaka. Anyway, they owned that whole, in the middle of the town, you know, there was a school. That's the school I was going. And she, during the war years, she gave it to the government. I don't know what reason it was. She was tired of operating the school, or maybe the tax was too big, or I don't know what. But she had enrollment, full enrollment. We were graduate with, you know, big classes. And
wait a minute. When the bomb was dropped, you were in what year of Kojo?
The school graduate, and they won't. You were working for the Teishin Tai, they call it.
Oh, okay. So you already graduated from the school?
School. And the school became a Fuzoku Yamanaka Kojo, because the government, so became a Fuzoku. Fuzoku is a really kind of, you know, had Fuzoku right by the university. But this became the, you know, another branch, you know?
Right.
Because they inherit the big property and everything, so government made their school Fuzoku. We didn't enter as a Fuzoku. We went as a private Yamanaka Kojo.
Right, right.
But in the middle, in the wartime, became the Fuzoku Yamanaka Kojo.
So were you still going to the new Fuzoku Yamanaka Kojo in 1945?
We half a day we go to school, half a day we go to Mitsubishi and work. Because we were of age, I guess, you know, 16, 17.
Right.
And
what kind of work were you doing in the factory?
The factory used to make airplane propeller parts. It's a stainless steel about a foot long and had this L shape kind of, you know. Well, sometimes it's different. It's just a plain one, but most of the time was like that. It's kind of heavy, you know. It weighs a few pounds and solid stainless steel.
Right.
And the machinist, the big machine, and have one machinist, and he cuts it, I guess, and us, all the students, especially women, we go, and then we got to sandpaper it really good, you know, sand it down. And then there's a box, you know, and we just put it right in a box. And
right.
We just sand. That sanding take 3-4 hours. It's, I don't know what was else we had to do, but, you know, we have to hang on to that for a long time. And not only me, you know.
Everybody was doing.
10 girls doing that.
Right.
Boys had different work to do, I guess, you know.
So is that what you were doing when the bomb was dropped?
Yeah.
That, tell
that
me
was
a little
my
bit
job.
But
I wasn't doing that.
Okay.
It was, that's the job
right.
that I was going to. And just when I arrived at the factory was kind of temporary, kind of, you know. I would say maybe it was totan kind of roof, you know, long like that. It's Mitsubishi Seiko, but for about a year, they had moved. They were on the ocean side, right? On the ocean, where the boat, not because of the boat, but right on the ocean, Mitsubishi had a big, big factory, you know? But for some reason, because they were being bombed all the time, you know, it's exposed, the factory. So they built that complex right in a mountain. The mountain is Koi.
Right, right.
The name
of
that mountain, you know?
It's
just like this kind of mountain.
Yeah.
And have mountain and have a valley, you know?
Right.
And right by the valley, they would build, you know, that factory. And we have to go up, walk maybe 20 minutes or 25 minutes before we reach that valley, for instance, from here to the valley over there.
Right.
and have houses at the beginning, have a lot of houses and a little bit, and then become really in a forest. Right?
Uh-huh.
But we go up there, and the factory is right there.
Ah, I see.
And then we work there.
Uh-huh.
You know? And in the meantime, if there is a siren and saying that B-21, B-49 is there, you know, we have to go and take shelter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the shelter is, they dig this tunnel, you know, the valley,
mm-hmm.
tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to go all in a tunnel, you know. We don't work nighttime, but daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, because of us students, right, we have instructors, you know, like teachers. They tell you what to do, and we just do it. We just drop everything and then go into the shelter so we don't get bombed, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, the factory really never had bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Close by, yeah.
Right, right.
But we were pretty safe while
uh-huh.
we were working there. That is, I cannot remember if it was every other day or sometimes they would change and say you stay 1 week and 1 week you can go to school. But what they promised was we work for the defense,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have to pay tuition. And that was already, we were in Semombo. You know, Semombo is college.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't pay tuition and you can go. Half of the time you can go to
uh-huh.
school,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
It's up to you. You don't want to go to school, you don't have to, but work, you have to.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. So what were you doing on August 6th?
The middle of the, where they dropped it, was behind me. I just went on a streetcar. There's a streetcar
uh-huh.
you know, that passed
uh-huh.
right there by the bridge. And a streetcar goes across the bridge. I went through that place maybe 20 or 30 minutes before and went to the mountain. Koi, I dropped, that's the end of the, what you call, streetcar.
Uh-huh.
And then I start walking. So I must have walked 20 minutes or 15. I just reached the factory,
mm-hmm.
and that's when the bomb struck.
What happened to you?
Nothing happened. Imagine with the, you know, that what you call totan roof.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was right next to this big machine. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's an office in there. Now, after the office, I cannot remember if I went to the office first or I was going to the office. You know, you gotta. They have the roll call, you know, you're going to
mm-hmm.
sign in, or I don't know what we did. But I reached there, and I was going to my, where I work. I must have passed one, not, I told you the machines are big, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was close to the machine, I think, because that roof went, and for some reason, they had some glasses, you know, windows or glass window.
Uh-huh.
Because I cannot remember her name, but this girl got a glass. The blood was dripping so much, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the arm. So the glass had, you know, just shattered and then hit her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so safe. I mean, I didn't hide or anything. I was just going to my, you know.
But you were in between heavy-duty machinery,
yeah.
so you were protected by them.
Right.
I see.
You know how, you know, after I'm talking to my friends, you know, and I said, you know, you can be really lucky. You can
mm-hmm.
be right next to the window or right next to something that fall on you.
Right.
I'm right by the machine. I thought, oh, what's happened to this roof? Look
right.
at it. You
right.
know?
Right.
Everything's going down, you know, and here the machinery, so the roof is hanging there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and right, I was right there. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't purposely go there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just walking.
Just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do next?
So we had to go into the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all ran. We said, oh, God, this, you know, what a heavy duty, what you call, bomb we got. You know,
yeah.
We didn't know it was an atomic bomb.
Right. Were there many people injured?
Yeah.
When
well,
you got together?
The student, I would say, you know, those kind of cuts and bruises and stuff. Uh-huh. Nobody got killed, I think.
How far was it from the hypocenter, the center of the explosion?
So many kilo, but I cannot remember. It, you know, it's, you cannot walk. It's from, you know, from here you stand and you gotta look, well, you know, where the beach is, kind of far, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say the distance of a beach, 3 miles maybe, or 5 miles.
Okay, so nobody was burned severely or anything like that. They were just sort of lightly injured.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little more about then next.
And then we went into the shelter, you know,
uh-huh.
and waited, you know. We didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the morning, I think, you know.
Right,
early
definitely.
Morning, because I just arrived there.
Absolutely.
So we had to stay half a day. I don't know what we ate, but the whole day, like, you know, because the factory is like that, you know.
Right,
and they
right.
had some fire, too. But we don't, you know, we didn't have to attend to that. We just right. stayed in there. And then, I don't know if we ate or what, but we just sitting there and wondering, you know.
What happened?
What's going to happen next? Yeah. Where is the next bomb going to be?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it was really close. We figured it's really close.
Yeah, right.
Because the factory went down like that, you know?
Right, right. You didn't know if it's a new bomb that's
no.
so massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, we've been bombed for weeks. Nighttime, I'm at my auntie's house, and a lot of time, you know, neighbor's house is burning, and we gotta go and help,
mm-hmm.
you know, pass the water. We mm-hmm. all were trained
right.
to help each
right.
other, you know. Anyway, those things happen, and she has one small shelter,
mm-hmm.
and we go in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we hear the siren
right.
in the middle of the night sometimes.
Right.
Daytime is a little bit easier because you know what's going on, you know. Anyway, and some houses were burning.
Yeah, so you
the
could
the city was already in a bomb.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So the, how did you find out that you eventually went back to your aunt's house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The aunt that lived in town.
Right, right. So when was it? Was it the next day or later on the same day?
Well, that evening, whole day we stayed in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
All the students, you know, they said not to go out.
Right.
Because, you know, going to have more bombs. And we know it's, you know, a lot of planes were flying. B-49, you know, I think it was, they used to say. And then siren stops and goes again. And here we see the plane, you know, daytime.
Mm-hmm.
But the strangest thing is, we on a mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the city started to smoke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
we see fire. I mean, you
right.
know, it was fire, but the daytime you only see smoke, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the teachers, or instructor, the teacher said, don't go in a city.
Right.
Because so many bombs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We figured the plane that was flying
mm-hmm.
must have dropped all the bombs.
Of
and
course,
the,
yeah.
Did you know that evening the whole city was red?
Right.
And we
right.
looked in and said, oh my God. I think we didn't think it was that much bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We figured, you know, thousands of bombs to
right.
get that many fire. The whole city was burning.
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't. Then we stayed whole night. And in the morning came, and we all got restless, you know, because
mm-hmm.
some of the people have parents
of course,
in a city,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
That they had a business and they stayed in a city and we want to go because, you know, my parents there, I want to see if my parents is safe and, you know, all the kids start screaming. So the teachers said, whoever have, we all have place to go in case the city get bombed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In case we get bombed,
mm-hmm.
we got to go, like me, I'm going to my empty space, far from the city.
Right,
so I know exactly where I'm supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
But everybody have places, you know, they go in a suburb where they have their clothes and, you know, relatives' house, and they have a lot of stuff stashed, you know. So in case of emergency, they go there, they can live for a while, kind, you know. So the teacher said, whoever have relative in Asagun and Akigun, which is, here's a Hiroshima city, and it's burning. We're up on a mountain, and it's burning right here in the middle of the city. Whoever have can go this way, and I have to go that way. You know, north. If you have a place, tomorrow morning, you can go. But don't go into the fire because
Of course.
They said the city is really burning. So you can go, you know. So a lot of people went in the morning, and it was around noontime, my friend and I, because my friend said, the parents right in the city, get this Lempejo, a big, big army, you know, open space right over there. Have the big city, you know, the main drag. And right over here, have the parents' store. They make futon store.
Yeah.
She said she gotta go here, which, you know, we weren't supposed to go, you know.
Right.
She said, now the fire is not that big.
Yeah.
So it's gonna get subside, then we're gonna go. And this told us, if you're gonna go, follow the train track. You know, it's wide, train, bus track, and a road, you know, kind of wide road where all the streetcars, cars, and so naturally, both sides can be burning, but, you know, kind of safe. Well, she told me, oh, she got to go there in the middle, right? She cannot, she knows if the parents are dead, she got to go here, but she thinks that we have a good bokugo, and maybe the parents need help, you know, they may be alive. So she wanna go. She begged me, because I can go to my the aunt's house in town by taking that train and go this way. And this is the Lempejo, all wide open, and have all those hospitals, like Tripler, you know, hospital for the wounded people, army hospital. This is the army big square, a hospital, and here's a big river. You know, my aunt lives right here, so
the aunt who was living in the city.
This one lives right here.
I see.
And this is the big Lempejo, not right here, but, you know, few houses.
So you thought that you can go with your friend and then check out your aunt as well.
So I said, you know, I cannot just go to my old aunt's place because, no, the other aunt's place, because I want to know what happened.
Right.
She's on a side, but maybe that place is burning too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to go. So she and I got together and said, okay, we're going to go the train track, you know? And then you go and check yours, and I'm going this way, and then, you know, check my auntie's house, you know, maybe she needs help or he needs help.
Right.
So we waited till, well, the whole night it burned. The daytime was a little bit better. It could be early afternoon, you know. The fire had, because this was the center.
Right.
This was the center. So, you know, it had burned out, you know.
Right.
And the houses, except for building, practically flattened. Now, so we started. But when we went, when we started, we went out of the factory and we got to come climb. We got to go down the hill, right? Wow, I saw so many people climbing up, you know, when they were in the city, they got hurt. And you know something? Most of them are burned. And the skin, amazing, you know, when you get burned from atomic bomb, or I don't know, any kind of burn maybe, you know, sometimes a lot of them have shorter sleeve or no sleeve, I don't know, even a sleeve burn. You know, this skin, come, they're all gray, you know, and that thing peels and hangs. It curls like that and hangs.
Right, right.
Wow, we saw those kind of people. I guess it hurts, you know, because they're trying to climb the mountain and take shelter, you know. And then some of them with a little kid, or most of them, you know, kind of younger kind of people. The old people cannot even climb the hill.
Right, right.
So the younger people come in and their skin. So first and the second one, we had the, you know, all kind of bandage and a mask and all that. My friend and I decided the first thing we're going to do is put the mask, because it's burning, right? It's
right.
Going to be so hard for us to walk through that burn.
Right.
So we're going to put the mask. Now, you got to have a good mask, okay? This, and in case you get burned or you get hurt, you need Band-Aid or, you know, all the tourniquet to everything. That you cannot let go. So we check our stuff, and we have some extra Band-Aid and extra this, you know. And then we got to get towel, two towels, and then the water, you know. So the teachers told us, if you're going to walk through the burn, or, you know, if the bomb would, you're in the middle of the bomb, you're supposed to wet the towel, you know, with the water.
Right.
And then put it
right,
around
cover your
mouth,
face, yeah.
You know. Or your head, or like that, because it's hot, right? But mask is a must, you know? And then wrap your head with a wet towel. So we need the towel. We need the water. But the rest, maybe we don't need it. So here comes people without bandage or anything. So we help them wrap, you know? And they said, oh, it burns, and I guess it's more than a first degree or second, I don't know what degree.
Yeah, yeah.
So we help, you know, they sit over there, and my friend take care of this one, take care of that. You know, at the beginning, we thought only these, those people. After we help four or five people, the more we go down, the more people climbing up.
Right.
We don't have any supply already.
Right, right.
To help those people.
So
she said, oh, we gotta go quick because my parents, you know, need help.
Right.
In
the
shelter. So we went, put the mask, we wrapped the towel, and then walked that. Wow, that's when we find that, you know, that a lot of people, when they die, it's just like an animal dead, you know? The body becomes stiff or something. The hand, leg like that, hand like that. And that's human. Human all over the place. And they're in that shape. They must have really suffered, you know?
But it was very close to the hypocenter, right? So because you were saying there was the center, and then you were going toward that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bridge because it's a big, Otago is a big, you know, river. And then the bridge is right there. And, you know, even the bridge have the, what you call, right, column. It's only fall on one side. Other column on this side.
Yeah.
The bomb, you know, the pressure was so great.
Right.
It hits the column down like that, you know?
Right, right.
But the bridge was, we could pass.
Okay.
It's not a long bridge, but sturdy, good bridge. So we passed the bridge, and that was the center, you know. Yeah, still today they have it. The,
right.
You know, Hakubutsukan or I don't know what, the center, you know.
The dome, Genbaku Dome?
Yeah,
the
dome.
Yeah.
We passed there, there's a bridge, right? We passed the bridge, we passed the dome. We didn't know that was a center.
Of course not.
We didn't even know it was atomic bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So we passed there, we thought just bombs, you know, all over the place. We passed there, and we went there, and this is a big intersection, you know? The road like that, and big intersection. I told her, you know, your parents have a store right there, right on a big main street. And you better go check. But you know what? I'm going to stand over here and wait. I'm not going to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hot too, you know? And burning, you know, little fire here and there. And
right.
I stood here, and she went there. Well, she know exactly where the you know, shelter is. Well, it must have been around 20. I waited so long, I thought, what's happening? I wonder if she fell in a shelter or something happened to her. And then I saw her coming,
mm-hmm.
you know, naturally she's all weeping,
oh.
and she's so sad. So I knew what was it. And she told me, you know, I think she's going to spend a night over here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, you're not going to spend a night. And me, I have to go look for my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you going to do? No sense you come over here.
Mm-hmm.
Because your house, you're supposed to come this side
mm-hmm.
to your aunt's place. So why don't we say, but I said, furthermore, you don't know if that's your parents or that's the worker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she stayed there long enough. She said she know the parents.
Mm.
So I said, how? And she said, you know the face, the skeleton? She said she knows exactly how the mother had gold filling teeth.
Oh,
the gold don't melt,
right.
seems like.
Mm.
She
yeah.
said when she saw the mouth, that was the mother's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
When she saw, because they had a lot of gold in there, you know, teeth. And the other one was the father.
Okay.
They were together.
Yeah,
and
I
all
see.
Burned, you know.
Was
I don't know what stage it was.
Was this friend somebody whose family were also...
I cannot even remember her name, you know.
Yeah, you don't. Do you know if she had a relatives or, you know, brothers or sisters in Hawaii or in America?
No, not
America?
In Hawaii.
So she
no.
was local, so to speak. Okay.
She was typical Japanese.
Okay.
But she had two brothers. And then the parents there, right? And then she had auntie and uncles that she had to go. But after the war, you know, after we found out there was an atomic bomb and we kind of settled down, we found the body
mm-hmm.
and whoever
mm-hmm.
was saved 1-2 months later. I had a communication. I got to talk to her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one.
Yeah.
She either called me or I called or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me she had two brothers. She told me she had two brothers. One was in Manchuria and one was somewhere in the South Pacific or something.
Where?
South Pacific.
South Pacific, okay.
Maybe was... I cannot remember what. Maybe it was Manila or some was on the south, but one was. Did I say Manchuria?
Manchuria,
yeah. Manchuria.
Uh huh.
They being older brother and they being in Japanese war, right?
Right, right.
And they were occupying and they were still fighting. Or I don't know what. Did you know after that, she had a word saying that the two brothers. We're coming home.
Okay.
That's what she
Very
told me.
Good.
I didn't see the two brothers. I didn't see after that. But she was so relieved.
Right.
Because she had two brothers.
At least somebody in her family was still alive. Yeah.
I think she only had two brothers and herself.
So how about your aunt then? Did you find her?
Well, the house was all burned.
Uh-huh.
And when I went and I said, oh, no way. You know, she's going to be saved. And this place was still burning for
mm-hmm.
some reason, you know. And right around the river had some people there. So I talked to them. I talked to people around
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm.
and asked if they saw her, you know. No, nobody, you know, saw. So I said, gee, it's burned. I see, well, if it's not burned, she can be under the... you know, left or something.
Right.
But the house is burned.
Right.
How can she live there, you know,
right,
already?
Right.
So no sense I go into the river. So I said, okay, maybe she's all burned up.
Right.
Wait till the fire, you know? It's
right.
too hot to walk in there. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell my auntie. Well, you know, that was the saddest at that time. I was so depressed. And I had to go to my auntie's, but wasn't too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm able-bodied. I'm not hurt. I'm not burned. So I cannot, you know, have a ride or anything.
Right.
There's a lot of trucks.
Right.
With a lot of body, you know. And they're all burned or something. With me, they won't put me on a truck.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. So you walked all
so
the way?
So I walked to a temple. They have musubi and AIDS. The
uh-huh.
only thing you have is musubi, but at least you get something
right.
to eat.
Sure.
You know, Japan have a lot of small temples.
Mm-hmm.
You go to one city, mm-hmm. you walk maybe 1 hour, and there's temples. You
mm-hmm.
know, otera.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you go otera,
mm-hmm.
you get something to eat.
Something
so
to eat,
I
yeah.
went, and then the evening come, then I just stick around.
Uh-huh.
But nothing but injured people.
Uh-huh.
All burned, and some are dying,
uh-huh.
and all that, you know? Well, I was so depressed, I can't even help. I'm just like one, half dead. I eat the musubi, and I don't know why, but, you know, I gotta sleep.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And I sleep, and they come to me and said, ask me if where's my burn. I tell them, no, I'm not burned. I'm only tired.
Right.
You know? So
right.
they said, okay, there's a lot of people that come and put, I don't know what kind of medicine, but all on the burn arm and face and body, you know. But I don't have a burn, so they
mm-hmm.
don't have to put that medicine on me, you know.
Right, right. So you eventually arrived at that place that everybody agreed that this is a place to go.
No, my auntie's house.
Right. Isn't
yeah.
that the place that you decided
yeah.
to
yeah.
go? Right. Okay. And
didn't take me too long. You know, if I had walked, probably, you know, 5-6 days or more.
Oh.
But I had in between, I had a short, you know, maybe 20 miles or you know, ride
mm-hmm.
for some
oh, okay.
reason. I cannot remember.
Huh.
Was a truck or ride or what?
Mm-hmm.
So, around 5-6 days, and I reached my auntie's.
Right, right.
Until then, I was tired. I would rest if I could, you know, and I have food. And but when I arrived, my auntie's, I felt so exhausted,
mm-hmm.
and my auntie told me I had a lot of bleeding, bleeding nose, you know. I bled and bled at my auntie's. I didn't do that in my temple or in a place,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. Bled probably, you know, a little fall. Oh, I don't know what it is, but after all, you know, and we didn't know that was gas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I inhaled some
yeah,
gas.
Yeah, you inhaled.
Stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
And a couple days, and I was okay. And about 1 week later, took them 1 week to find out that that has so much gas. Atomic bomb is so much radiation and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, people used to go and look for their. Like, we were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
We were just about to go to town and look for my auntie, you know,
right,
after the
right.
Burn. And my uncle, who left the house, but we didn't know. I thought my auntie and uncle was in there.
Right,
burn.
Right. But were they there?
He went according to her later.
Uh-huh. But she was in that other auntie's house.
She was in the house.
Right, yeah.
And she got hurt.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't come to that house, my
right.
auntie's house,
uh-huh.
for a long time.
I see.
2 weeks later.
I see.
When she came, we thought she was a ghost or something. Because, oh.
Where was she in those 2 weeks? Was she hospitalized?
No, she in the church.
In the church.
Temple.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
you know, that's
I
the only
see.
Place there's food. Huh?
Right, right.
So
okay.
she was taking shelter, but not good enough to walk around too
I
much.
See. I
so
see.
So it took long time before she
actually was able to
yeah.
come. Yeah. Yeah, no wonder.
We were so shocked. And we were, I think we sent some people to look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my auntie, that auntie and uncle, they were too old to go into those kind of burning, you know.
Mm.
Good thing they didn't go. But
mm-hmm.
I decided I'm going to go, you know.
Right,
look
right.
for it a little bit more. Maybe I can find skeleton or something.
Yeah. How about your uncle then? He was not at home?
We looked the market. He went on a bicycle and went to the market.
Uh-huh.
You see, that center of this, what you call, has a big market here on the side, on the other side, you know, where the train, I mean, the truck is. He goes to the market in the morning
mm-hmm.
practically every time because
mm-hmm.
he has a friend, and I think he was helping the friend, you know, and stuff like that, because there were those merchants, they were short-handed too. If they have a son, they're out in a war. No men, you know. The only woman left, right?
Mm.
They take all the men, you know, from 16 and up, I think, you know, and they have to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
And that war was terrible because it spread from Peking to Manchuria to South America, you know. No, not South America, but South Pacific,
mm-hmm.
like what, Philippines or Malaysia or whatever. You know how many men they need.
Mm-hmm.
So all the able men, like my cousin, I had a cousin. Now, afterwards, the Samano, I came back here
mm-hmm.
and I decided not to go back. That's when they adopted my cousin. My cousin's parents were dead, not on the atomic bomb, but this lady had raised my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, you know, this lady's like Yoshi, you know, he was going to take care of them.
Uh-huh.
But then they lost the house, the uncle dead and everything. So
uncle actually died?
This, yeah,
I see.
Died.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even find his body.
Uh-huh.
But this, the auntie and uncle, when I came back to Hawaii, then I told, I got married and your folks either come to Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
otherwise, you know, I don't think I'll go back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is this, and they were so sad because my name wasn't Sawano. You see, if I'm of age, I get married and my cousin's name became Sawano and got there, the house and few of the stuff, that the estate that they had. But not much, you know, by the time they died. But she wanted to leave everything to me. But did you know the law says if you're an American citizen, you cannot own anything?
Mm-hmm.
So she decided the cousin,
mm-hmm.
Japanese citizen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his house is burned,
right.
doesn't have anything.
Right, yeah.
So I said that's a good thing because my cousin come back from Manchuria, have nothing, the house, the auntie's house gone, and poor thing. Yet. So he became Sawano.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did people talk about, or did they talk about anything, you know, in terms of what happened? I know that, you know, right after the bomb was dropped, nobody knew it's an atomic bomb, right?
But then
there was a rumor that went around about, you know, bomb illness, people's hair falling.
Well, you know something, about 1 week and they had announced that people don't go in a city
mm-hmm.
because there's gas and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say radiation, but
right.
a lot of gas.
Right.
So they were they found out that people who come from the country looking for their loved ones, looking for their relative, they dig here and there, searching for the body, mm-hmm. you know, and stay a few days, and they go home, mm-hmm. and they just drop dead.
Right, yeah, because of irradiation.
Yeah, they were thinking, how can that be? They mm-hmm. weren't even in a scene when the bomb was dropped or didn't get burned or anything. Mm-hmm. That's how they found out this gas. They said at that time, gas. You know,
Do you think that you had an identity or awareness that you were bomb survivor at that time?
Yeah.
You know, you went into a city, and mm-hmm. that's a new she category, right? Did you think that you were at that time thinking of yourself as a bomb survivor? So I have to worry about something, or I have to be aware, or I have
afterwards.
To...
Afterwards.
Yeah. When do you think that you started to think in that way?
Well, when they said that, you know, that was radiation,
mm-hmm.
then we were concerned.
Yeah, around when was it, do you think?
Oh, about a couple weeks, you know.
Okay. You were already worried.
Yeah.
I
was. My auntie and my uncle were kind of, you know, concerned mm-hmm. because I'm young, right?
Right.
And then I went through the city.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
How about your parents? I mean, after they learned that there's a bomb, new type of bomb dropped on the city of Hiroshima where you used to go to work and go to school, they must have been terribly worried.
My parents were here.
Right.
Well, they thought I'm dead.
Right, they did.
Well, for a while. And mm-hmm. then I sent telegram, something. And anyway, there's a place the Red Cross
right.
has for communication. We mm-hmm. cannot send that, you don't know, post office. Or besides, we couldn't send. But somehow I sent through Red Cross. You
right,
know,
right. Let them know you're fine.
Yeah,
to
fine. So I understand my father told, well, my brother, the brother that's over there, he didn't go to war
mm-hmm.
because he's missing one of the finger over here.
Uh-huh.
When he was little, you know, he got cut up. So they didn't take him originally,
mm-hmm.
but he was drafted as occupational, you know.
Right,
what
right.
you call. That's when my father said, you go and get assignment in Japan so you can look after your sister. Look and see if your sister is, you know, okay.
Uh-huh.
She said it's okay, but you never know, you know. Maybe she's critically ill.
Right.
So he came to Japan and then came to Hiroshima as a GI, you know.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And then we met and he said, oh, your father's going to send money, so I'm going to make arrangements so you can go home. He said, you know, you auntie and uncle don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think that you're going to take care of them and stay with them. So I'm not saying that you're going back to Hawaii. We get plenty siblings. Your parents are not going to miss you too much. So you just go home. So your parents will be happy to see you and the sisters and brothers. We all want to see you. So he's going to send you money, and I'm going to make arrangement with the, you know, American consul. It took about 2 months or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to Hawaii.
Were you glad to be back?
Hmm?
Were you glad to be back in Hawaii?
Yeah, but I was glad because Japan was all burned and, you know, hardly anything, you know, was really in depressed kind of mood, so I wasn't too happy to be in Hiroshima.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when you went back to Hawaii, it's 1947, right? And at that time, of course, there was no...
1948. Yeah.
Okay. At that time, there was no survivors, Genbaku Techo or anything like that. Do you have it now?
Yeah.
When did you get it?
Actually, I didn't get it right away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Must have been, you know, 30, 40 years afterwards.
Okay. So it was 1970? 1980s?
Maybe 1960.
1960?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the techo existed then.
I know.
I don't think they had, but, you know, I didn't get it right away. Some people went to Japan and get it. You had to go to Japan and get
right,
it.
Right,
right. But I had no... as I say, my aunt and uncle died.
Right, right.
6 years later, both of them are gone. So I went to the funeral and back to Japan. And I may have gone to Japan once more in between. But I didn't need the techo. I was married and American citizen. And I was busy.
Right, right.
So
why did you decide to get the certificate? The survivor's techo, yeah. What was the reason?
They all told me that I should get a techo.
Your family members?
Huh?
Your family members?
No, my friends from Japan.
Friends from Japan, okay.
Yeah. Mm. They said to keep it up because when you go to Japan, yeah, you have benefits, you know?
I mean,
you go in the hospital, maybe they will... Me? So I said, oh, okay. It was... few years later, you know, after everybody got the techo, I said, okay, I'm going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I had to go to Japan to get examination
Of course.
No, you don't have to, I heard.
Right, it changed. More recently, really recently.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that, you know, you lost your uncle to the bomb and you were... made into a survivor because of the bomb. And do you think that because of your experience during wartime and afterward, your image of America might have changed in any way? I'm not saying either, you know, better or for worse. I'm just saying that...
My image?
Yeah. Because you were originally from Hawaii and then you had a connection,
personal family
connection, and then suddenly... you were in Japan and then your father's and mother's country, which is America, was fighting against Japan and you were victimized by the bomb.
Mm.
I just wonder what image of America you might have had at that time.
You know, I never thought of it like, you know, either America is good or Japan is good or anything like that. To me, both countries had faults. Mm-hmm. They just didn't get along. That's why the people, you know, have to sacrifice so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have grudge against any country.
Mm-hmm.
America was good to me. And also, I'm proud to be a Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I think Japan is a very nice, good country.
Mm-hmm.
Except the war that they started.
Mm-hmm.
I think... because, you know, in Japan, they had the Shogun era, you know, and they were kind of, you know, close, like the communists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were close too long, and sooner when the Shogun period disappeared and westernized a little bit, but still Japan is just... the people in Japan, born and raised, you know, and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have the shogunish kind of, you know, thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, I won't say broad-minded, but they didn't know the world.
Mm.
They're still too, you know, obsessed with them being so well, I mean, you know, superior. Because they had little wars in China. And my father went to a war, Russian war, when he was young. They won the war, you know?
Right.
Small kinds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got corrupt or Okinawa or whatever. So they thought, well, they still can... But, you know, if you know the world, you know how big the America is, and then the European world... how can you think that you can conquer a big country like America?
Right.
It's ridiculous to think that. But some of the people still had the old, like Tojo or what. I think they thought they can conquer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's really bad, because, you know, that time Konoe was the prime minister, I think, and also was trying to deal with America.
Mm. How about America? After the bomb was dropped, do you think that your image or idea about America might have changed?
The bomb was dropped.
You know, America made a decision to drop the bomb.
Well, I thought that was another thing, you know, but got to be done, I guess. In a way, you know, Japan got saved. The bomb was only isolated, what you call. The war ended, right? The war had to end somehow, and they had a long war. When I went to Japan, they were fighting already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were at war.
So you didn't think it was a necessary right decision to drop the bomb?
I won't say right, but I won't say that Japan really got the short end of it. Of course, they attacked, what you call, so they got, you know, blamed for it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They attacked Pearl Harbor first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a casualty, and that was wrong. So, well, you can't say that atomic bomb totally destroyed Japan. I think it did. Well, in a small talk, if you're going to talk to a kid, well, you deserve what you know, got. I mean,
so you think Japanese people deserve to be killed by the bomb?
Well,
in the way that they were?
Yeah, some sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
You can't help it, you know?
Uh-huh.
But majority of them got saved because the war ended. Did you
majority
know
of
it
Japanese.
Was really a relief? I would say all the Japanese people thought, oh, well, they won't say out loud, but they were relieved.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, Hiroshima got, you know, big, we got to do, we had to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We had to sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of people died.
Now, after you came back to Hawaii, tell me a little bit about your life. How did you restart your life in Hawaii?
Come on in. You know what? We had a bee trouble, so this man is going to...
Okay. Yeah, bees,
little,
yeah.
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 He's a bee man.
Uh-huh.
No? Yeah, it's the bee. What was the question?
So what was your life like after you came back to Hawaii? What did you do, and how did you restart your life in Hawaii?
Well, first thing, I had to go... You see, I was in Japan 10 years, so my English was so bad. You know, funny thing, 10 years and you, of course, you know, when I went to Japan, I was only elementary level. And then I went to Japan and I got to go full blast in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And I did okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I came back, now I got to go back to English again,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I took some courses at the high school. They have English only courses.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, actually, I'm a graduate of high school, right?
Right,
and
right.
And other stuff, I'm math like that, you know. I'm not that. I'm pretty good,
mm-hmm.
but only English. So I went to school a couple of years, you know. I remember going to night school, too.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
working,
uh-huh.
you know.
What kind of work did you do?
You know my sister, that one,
uh-huh.
this one here?
Uh-huh.
Had a bakery right in the middle.
Oh.
And there's a high school close
uh-huh.
by, walking distance.
Uh-huh.
So I take a couple hours of classes and
uh-huh.
I work there.
Oh,
and I live there.
I see, I
because
see.
My family is way in Kahuku, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I stay there and they needed help.
Mm-hmm.
So I work at the bakery,
mm-hmm.
learn how to do all those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But physically, you know, I was... Some Japanese, you know, for me, if I didn't go to defense work and work 2-3 years, you know, although, you know, part-time, but physical work,
mm-hmm.
they really work you hard. And if I didn't have that, probably I wasn't going to be too good in working in a bakery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I told my sister, you tell me to cook rice, and I don't know how to cook rice.
Mm.
Or I don't know how to cook. But you tell me to wash the pan and do this and do that in a bakery,
mm-hmm.
no, I'll do it, you
mm-hmm.
know? And she said, yeah,
mm-hmm.
physically you're stronger than me.
Mm.
She was surprised because, you know, in Japan...
Well, you worked hard.
Yeah, we worked hard,
uh-huh.
you know? I mean, all these years that I went to, the Yamanaka is a... It's the lady, Mrs. Yamanaka, owned that private school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a finishing school.
Mm.
You learn the manners. You learn how to arrange up. And you go tea ceremony. And you, you know, when you get married, you got to do this. And, you know, talk this way, that way. To get into... It's a prepare for you to get married,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right, exactly.
And married right, you know?
Right, right.
Although I was kind of physically, you know, I like to do physical,
uh-huh.
you know, tomboyish. So
right,
when
right.
I started to work in the factory, to places, it didn't, it was okay
yeah.
for me.
So did you continue to work for your sister's bakery for a long time, or did you move
Not
on to something
long.
Else?
About... Well, I came back 23, I was married.
Ah, okay. Did you stop working after you got married then?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to send me a bill or...
I can.
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll call you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Shall I tell my
So I worked, and 23, I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I got married to a baker.
Oh, he was a baker too.
Yeah.
Did you work for his bakery then? Or
yeah.
You
we,
did?
My husband and I worked together.
Ah, okay.
Sort of like, you know, of course, he had bakers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this is... And eventually we built the bakery. And the oldest
oh, that's
boy's
okay.
name is
there.
Craig.
Oh.
This building, we own this building.
Oh,
still,
wow.
Till today.
Oh, what's wonderful.
It's still a bakery or something?
Huh?
It's still a bakery or?
No.
No,
we
something
just rented to somebody.
Yeah.
Some other people.
So you continue to work for your husband's bakery for
together
for a long time?
Well, we operated about 50 years.
Wow. So you must have been very successful.
Yeah, he was a hard-working person.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he'd take, you know, I'm only what you call, but he was very hard-working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a question from a different angle from my other questions, but when you came back to Hawaii and started out your life and then started to work and eventually you got married and also work for your husband bakery, do you think that, you know, the social status of women in Hawaii was any different from the social status of women in Japan?
Well, you know, it was wartime. and I was busy working, going to school, and I don't, you know, really know how. Well, you know, during the wartime, it's different, I think. Different from now, or before. Well, you know, I went to Yamanaka, finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
The Mrs. Yamanaka taught us differently.
How so?
Yeah. Japanese, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, elegant living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go and do the machine or anything like that.
Right.
But you got to make sure, you know, your manners,
mm-hmm.
how you walk, how you talk, how you serve your, you know, mother-in-law. In the morning you get up, you got to, you know, fix yourself really nice, put on makeup.
Uh-huh. Right.
Sit nicely and say good morning to your parents. I mean, not your parents, your husband's
your
parents.
Husband. Right.
You gotta serve them, you gotta be, you know,
uh-huh.
careful how you, you know, present yourself and act. You know, that's really Japanese style, you know.
And that was different once you were here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. Here, you don't have to do that.
Mm.
You don't have to even live with your mother-in-law and father-in-law. You know, I didn't do that,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Nobody, you know, my family didn't have to do that. So I didn't. My mother-in-law lived her own place. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I was in Japan, I'd probably have in-laws. That's
right.
Why we get all the training, you
right,
know.
Right, right. Now, did you talk about how you were a survivor of the bomb when you got married with your husband?
Yeah, uh-huh.
How did it come up?
Hmm?
How did it come up? How did you talk about that?
Well, I just told him, you know, the atomic bomb. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, he knows.
How did he respond?
I don't know how he felt, but, you know, when I had the first son, I said, you know what I'm really worried is, before I left Japan, we had a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
I overheard some of my friends said,
mm-hmm.
you know, we cannot get married to a decent place.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to get away from, you know, Hiroshima and live in Tokyo or big city,
mm-hmm.
where people not too conscious of, because you are a survivor,
mm-hmm.
and maybe, you know, it's going to affect the children,
right.
that you're going to have.
Right.
And so when I got pregnant, I told my husband, you know, I don't know what they said, you know,
mm-hmm.
some people didn't want the survivors, you know, as a bride, especially the one that, you know, was in the middle of, like me, I was so close, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Hiroshima, but if you're outskirts or elsewhere, it's fine. But
right.
if you're in a city and
mm-hmm.
it was there, they don't want you as a, you know,
as a
bride.
Bride, right,
yeah.
yeah.
Some people already had said, no, if she's from Hiroshima, and that age, no, they don't want it because, well, I guess, you know, well, unknown, yeah, nothing. Maybe some people, it affected some people.
Right, yeah.
It didn't.
No, I ask you this because many people that I talked to told me that there was a rumor that, you know, you can't be a woman and good mother if you are a survivor. So they did tell me that they worried about that, and that came up when they got married and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They didn't want for about 5-6 years, they didn't want any bride from Hiroshima, especially if you are the city.
Right.
You stayed in a city, you know.
Right.
Because of that effect, they think the children's gonna be affected.
Yeah.
And maybe some people got affected, you know, but I don't think I was kind of worried when I had the first child, you know.
No, you told me that sometime in 1960s you apply for the survivor's tetro, and then I think it's in 1980s when doctors you know, from Hiroshima, started to come here to do the annual, actually biannual checkups. Do you go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, did you start to go there when it started out in 1980s? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the significance or value of having Japanese doctors coming here?
Well, I think they need a lot of data for research, right? They need that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with me, I did okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm living this long, and a lot of old people go there. So as far as, you know, that thing affect a lot of people. They're all, you know, seems like atomic bomb survivors, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which area they stayed, but
then
a lot of old people, so it didn't affect, you know, too much. I mean, if we see a lot of cancer patients, you know, all of a sudden when we were on a 60 or 70, then it would be odd, right?
Mm-hmm.
But get enough cancer people, but a lot of people never get affected, and they still, my husband had cancer and he died, you know. So, I don't know, you know, the research gonna find that.
So you feel that doctors are coming here basically to do the research, do you
That's
think?
What
yeah.
I think.
Well, why do you go there then? Do you want to help their research?
Yeah, in a way. I have a regular doctor, and they're good doctors, but I don't mind going and then help the research, and same time, yeah, they're good doctors. If something else that I can't find, they might find it.
Okay,
you know?
So they do a very thorough examination, and you like that. Do you feel that because you are American survivor of the bomb, your experience might have been in any way different from that of Japanese survivors?
Japanese citizen?
Yeah.
Oh, and live here?
Or maybe Japanese survivors of the bomb who were in Japan, as opposed to people like yourself. Do you think that your experience as a bomb survivor might have been different because of your location? Which is here.
Yeah, might be a little. I think they suffered longer.
Americans or Japanese?
Japanese.
Living okay.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Because the condition of Hiroshima, Japan was at least 10 years of, you know, suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the house. They lost, you know, maybe children.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think when I went back, that place wasn't recovered that good. It was 10 years or 15 years later, you know. Took a long time before the city built.
So you feel that because you were able to come back here, which wasn't damaged by the bomb, you didn't have to suffer through that difficult era in Japan.
Yeah, I would. Well, but my auntie lived in a suburb, so I had, you know, I have some help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could stay there. I'm pretty safe. Safe life. But, but a lot of my friends had suffered kind of, you know, until they rebuild.
Right.
I mean, not only rebuild the city, but I think their life, you know. That it's harder. Not like people who didn't get, you know, that experience. I mean, houses burn, the cities burn. What can you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to get out of Hiroshima. I mean, you don't have to live in a city, and they suffered a lot, I think.
Now, earlier you mentioned how you had to go back to Japan to apply for the survivor's techo. And I think, you know, if you look at the history, Japanese survivors were able to get the monetary allowances, monthly allowances, and then they can just get medical care free of cost. Around those issues, do you feel that there was a sort of different ways in which American survivors were being handled by the Japanese government?
by the Japanese government.
Yeah.
I don't feel, well, I never thought of it, because here, of course, you have to pay for it, mm-hmm. but now I have Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go into, you know, some kind of medical insurance,
mm-hmm.
I always said.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors here are good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about, you know, Japan. I can't compare because I'm not there.
So you don't receive any monetary allowances?
I do.
You do, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I mean, for a long time, American survivors were not able to receive that, so
no.
Just wondered how you felt about that.
Yeah, they had it right away, you know.
Right,
Japanese
people, survivors,
yeah.
Right.
We had to earn
mm-hmm.
for it, we got to pay,
mm-hmm.
you know. To. So it's good that finally, you know, they give us some money.
Mm-hmm.
But some people need it, I think, even they come back here, you know,
mm-hmm.
need it earlier. I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't need it, so I don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, especially on the mainland, in the West Coast, San Francisco, Los Angeles, American survivors in the 1970s and 80s wanted to get American government support them, rather than just having Japanese government support them. Do you have any reactions to that? Were you aware of that there was such a movement? The survivors in America who are American-born American citizens, like yourself, who happened to be in Japan because of, you know, whatever reasons, family connections with Hiroshima, they were bombed, they became victimized. After the war, they came back, and they felt that America is my government, my country,
mm-hmm.
so I like to ask my government for help.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out, but do you have any reaction to that?
It would be nice if the American government would give something like the techo, you know,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have to pay for the medical
mm-hmm.
and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I can see they ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you know, they should get it sooner, because
uh-huh.
soon, because a lot of them of age, they're going to die off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, yeah.
Not too many people are going to be living 10 years from now.
That's right, they are getting old. That's very true.
It's so American government should give them
mm-hmm.
benefit or give us benefit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to at least pay a high price for the medical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to pay a premium too, you know? They take it out of the Social Security.
Right.
But at least the American government should pay for that.
Right.
Yeah, for medicine and stuff. Of course, the Japanese government is trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the money comes from.
Well, it's Japanese government paid by Japanese citizens' tax money.
Is that right? I thought, well, Americans are giving them money.
Oh, no. There is no money coming out of American government.
Americans should give some money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
I can see that, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
a demand.
Mm-hmm.
But like anything else, you know, are they going to do it soon or not? You know, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they sold that property
uh-huh.
to Nisei.
Uh-huh.
But Nisei went into that internment
relocation
camp.
Right.
Yeah,
because they lost it.
And they took the property.
Right.
And they tore the building and made it into a parking lot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know? And the government took it.
Mm-hmm.
And who has it now, you know?
Mm.
I don't know. The government must have sold it to somebody that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want to
mm-hmm.
give it to, I guess. But that's not right.
Mm.
And, you know, they said that, well, he was willing to give up. And he sold it, but the people that got it, because he didn't get all the money.
Right.
He was going back and forth. You know, there cannot be, there's no loan or anything like that those days. So the agreement is every year they're going to pay one-tenth or, you know.
Mm.
But, he left in a hurry. He went back and collected some money. And in the meantime, the owner was in a camp, right?
Right.
And they took everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're supposed to pay that owner.
Right, right.
Well, he has the right to ask for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't understand about
right.
this American government.
Right.
Why would they do that when other citizens can go jail, but they don't take that property?
Mm.
Or they don't do that to any other citizen, but they did to
mm-hmm.
Mostly to Japanese American, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were Americans.
Right, right. Now, in connection with that, when there are American survivors, American-born American citizens who were bombed, tried to get American government support for their health care needs. It was in collaboration with a younger generation of Japanese Americans, Sansei Japanese Americans, who really wanted to improve the social status of Japanese Americans, in part because they are just discovering stories like your uncles,
mm-hmm.
you know, their parents or their grandparents are in relocation camps. It's an injustice done to Asian American
mm-hmm.
minorities. And they created a sort of a social movement. It's called Asian American Civil Rights Movement. And that kind of movement really helped the survivors movement to get some attention from American government. Were you aware of that when this
mm-hmm.
kind of thing was happening? It's 1960s, 1970s. You're busy working in bakery.
Yeah.
Right?
It didn't affect us too much.
Mm.
But I think that's a good thing. They should, you know, stay. When Inoue was a senator,
mm-hmm.
they should have really
yeah.
gotten help from him.
Right, right. That's true.
But we don't have too much casualty. They didn't take their land.
Mm.
They only, some of them went to
mm-hmm.
internment camp. They
mm-hmm.
went to the mainland too.
Right, right.
But they didn't take the property away.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, they didn't do justice.
Mm.
But in California,
right.
I can see,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they did to...
Right.
I mean, indirectly, you know,
mm.
he didn't get the money because of that person, you know, lost everything, poor
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
and he's American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of people should really, you know...
Be compensated.
Go into that movement
mm-hmm.
and then get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some kind of benefit.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, oh, you own something and they take it away. That's your lifetime savings, sort of speak.
Uh-huh.
You know how much, you know, how back you're going to go for years and years of, you know, saving.
Mm-hmm.
And probably those people had only that much of a land and took them 30 years to save it or 40 years and then they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
That is not right.
That's not right.
I don't
care
even those people are dead. The you know, the ancestors, I mean, you know, the children
mm-hmm.
should, you know,
right.
somehow get some benefit.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned how, you know, given the war context at the end of World War II, you know, maybe it was necessary for America to use the bomb because Japan wouldn't have stopped the war otherwise. Do you think if a similar situation happens now, America or any other country should have an ability to use the bomb?
I don't think they should use it, but I have a feeling, you know. Not like anything else, you get nothing to lose. That's when, you know, sometimes human being, well, I won't say, you know, in that kind of national level, but you know, like human beings, you get cornered in one area and
mm-hmm.
you become too desperate, you know,
mm-hmm.
you do anything, you get nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this country, I won't say, you know, the leaders are that way, but you get, to me, there's a lot of leaders like now, Sylvia or whatever country, they're killing their own people.
Mm.
You know, the
mm-hmm.
kind of leaders. I
mm-hmm.
just think that, gee, what are they going to do if they're killing their own people?
Right.
And then you, if they become desperate, they can drop a bomb.
If they have an ability to have a bomb, yeah.
Yeah, some of them have.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, some country would give them.
Mm-hmm. So do you worry about that?
Yeah. I'm very concerned.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's not the first world, I mean, you know, it's not the big country that's going to do it.
Mm.
It's those little ones that, you know,
mm-hmm.
when come worse to worse,
mm-hmm.
they can do anything.
Mm.
Killing is nothing for them.
Now, I've been asking a lot of your time, and I'm sure you are
okay.
getting tired right now.
No?
But this is a record that I like to...
Yeah, just 1 second. Let's have a sip of back from Japan. I was young then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had some similar kind of interview with this girl in University of Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Write about it.
Uh-huh.
Was working for my sister's bakery.
Uh-huh.
So I gave her all the story and everything, and she also, oh, and the newspaper man too, also asked me at that time, you know, 1950 something.
Mm-hmm.
You think anybody will drop an atomic bomb?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, you never know. This,
thank you.
It's not gonna be America or Russia. It's not even Russia.
Uh-huh.
Or England, those kind of country.
Thank
but
you.
Those small country,
mm-hmm.
that's their desperate kind of country.
Mm.
Like they got nothing to those kind of country that you gotta watch,
mm.
and then the Vietnam War, right?
Uh-huh.
And then now the North Korea, right? And those kind of people, you know, strange kind of leaders, you get.
Do you think that? You know, you like to say something for a future generation that may listen to this interview maybe 50 years from now. I'm going to be preserving it as a historical record. That's part of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, 15.
People who don't know anything about the bomb, don't know anything about Pacific War or anything. Do you have anything that you like to say?
Well, you know, 50 years ago,
from now,
Yeah, 50 years ago, I said, I feel the same way. 50 years ago, I had told them, yeah. You know, when you have children, if you are all by yourself, you have no worries. But when you start having children, family and stuff, then it become very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for yourself, but for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of atomic bomb or any kind of bomb, you know, having it is always dangerous because you don't know what kind of leaders you have.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say American leaders were bad, but that was sort of like experimenting, right? But now I think most countries can have it.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna, even they ban it, I think gonna have.
Mm.
So, what I don't know what the solution is, but it's gonna be so bad for the next generation, 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody have a solution for that.
Mm.
Not even America or any other country.
Mm. As a survivor yourself, do you think that you can be a part of your solution? The solution for the problem that you just mentioned, or do you feel powerless?
I feel powerless. I can't, I don't think, I only experienced, but I don't have a solution. I think it's very, very hard.
Mm. Have you done anything to maybe become even a small part of the solution?
I don't think I really contributed. I only, you know, give my experience and hopefully, you know,
mm-hmm.
people will be more concerned over
mm-hmm.
other people.
So telling and about your story and experiences.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that makes
experience
sense.
Experience and they would feel that, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more
mm-hmm.
compassionate about how people can die in a minute.
Right.
I mean, you know, in a second.
Right.
And innocent people, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're all innocent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tragic. And I hope that won't happen.
Yeah.
I don't care, you're rich or poor, you know?
Right.
There's no
discrimination.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were there, you'd be dead.
And not only that, there's a lot of story, a lot of things that people won't realize, you know? The bomb and you get hurt, the after affair. But there's a lot of family that have their own, you know, story or sad ones.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because in Japan, there was an orphanage that I went to. Those kids come from an upper class, people who had business in Hiroshima
mm-hmm.
and all that. What they did was, in the evening, you know, when they get bombed, you gotta go in a shelter. You have children and they don't have enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be in a way when there's a fire in your house and you try to, you know, or neighbors, you try to help. So what they did, the system did, and they thought it was a good one, was all those elementary school had evacuated
mm-hmm.
in a country, in a temple. Not permanent, but, you know, temporarily. The
mm-hmm.
teachers go there and the kids all go there.
Mm-hmm.
The parents can visit them anytime they want.
Mm-hmm.
But they have daily work to do. I mean, they got to open the store. How they going to feed themselves? And a lot of them, you know, the husband or the son is at war, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a hard time already. But young people that have children, for the safety reason, they're in a temple. And what happened when the atomic bomb was over, they see a lot of kids in a temple and nobody to take care of them.
Right, right.
The relative that's supposed to come are having a hard time, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
and they cannot. So they put all the kids to Etajima, which was a naval academy
mm-hmm, right.
of Japan.
Right.
When I went to, it's a nice facility.
Mm.
When I went, because I had a friend who was a Christian,
mm-hmm.
her family had a store in Ochuko, but we went to school together. A really, really a compassionate, nice woman. She had, when I met her in Hiroshima, she had told me that she's in Etajima, and if I could only spare some time, why don't you come? And I'm not married, I'm all by myself, I don't have parents but my auntie and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a job then, you know, after the war. So she said, why don't you come? I went there and I saw all the children, beautiful kids.
Mm.
They're all below 10, I think. And the parents are dead, or
right.
whoever was.
They're orphans.
They're orphans all
right.
of a sudden.
Yeah.
And they all come from a, you can tell they're beautiful kids, nice-mannered, somewhat rascal, but
mm-hmm.
they come from a city, you know, city kids that was well-provided, the parents said was wealthy,
mm-hmm.
you know. Those kind of kids, I mean, people don't talk about it, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have to live in an orphanage until 18, and they have to start learning how to paddle their own canoe. All of a sudden, you know how traumatic it is for the kids.
I know.
All of a sudden, the life had You know, if mm-hmm. the kids were old enough, they'll mm-hmm. commit suicide. Mm. But they don't
even
know
what happened, yeah.
So the Christian nuns and the helpers there try to be really kind, and mm-hmm. they survive, you know. Mm-hmm. And they survive till when they're 18, I guess 18, and they're going to let them go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Those are many family separations and tragedies that took place.
Yeah, that really made me feel that, you know, things in this world, you know, sometimes nobody knew what's going to have a big bomb.
Right, yeah.
And nobody knew life was going to be that different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't. But, of course, you know, they can stay in orphanage. They had food. They have mm-hmm. nice people.
Right.
They're all, you know, volunteers. And if they have a friend like mine, you know, the children would be all right, but without parents.
Yeah. Now, this is something I probably neglected to ask you earlier. This is also related to you being a U.S. survivor of the bomb. Do you think that your experience of the bomb might have been different because you still had a cultural connection to America or Hawaii in your case? And I ask you this question because some people, not everybody, but some people I talked to told me how even after the war started out, they felt really friendly to America, which my impression is that listening to your story is probably more or less true in your case as well. And some people even told me that when they look up B-29s in the skies, they felt like, oh, this is the airplane from my country. This is my friend. Or other people told me that, well, this is really a particular example, but she told me how when the bomb exploded, only thing that she took away with her when she was running away from her house, which was burning, was a blanket that she took back from America, and she was like very attached to this blanket that's made in America. Do you have any stories like that? I'm thinking of something that probably connects your experience of the bomb and your origin in Hawaii. I mean, if you don't have anything like that, that's fine. I just wondered if you have something that comes to your mind.
Well, I thought, well, maybe finally I can see my, you know, parents or my family.
When the bomb was dropped.
I mean, you know, no, not exactly when the bomb was dropped. Mm-hmm. After a while, you know,
after
when they surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
For me, it was, you know, I said, oh, what a relief now, you know. I can see my family. And then when I was able to, I wasn't that anxious. I said to myself, oh, my poor auntie and uncle, you know, I better come back really soon.
Right.
You know, mixed feelings.
Right, yeah. But your auntie and aunt must have missed you because they were thinking of you as if you were their daughter, right?
They thought I still was going to go back. My intention was.
Right, but you never did.
I didn't. Well, you know, and then I got married. I was 23 only.
Mm-hmm.
I got married. But then I said to myself, wow, I hate to go back to Hiroshima. It wasn't a good experience for me seeing, you know, everything that such a, you know, dramatic
experience
I had.
Yeah.
And wasn't too anxious, although I was obligated.
I understand that, I think.
It was a long time, you know, over 10 years that Hiroshima was not moving.
Yeah.
They couldn't do, they said, you know, they couldn't do anything because of that fallout.
Right.
Yeah. But it's recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like everything is okay now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how long ago, over 50 years, it
took
them
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, but I went, my husband and I went to this Hiroshima the last time when he went.
Uh-huh.
Well, only once, I think, he went to Japan. But my classmates, some of them, around 20 or 30 of them, got together, and then at the hotel, we had a chat, lunch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear the stories and all that, and I said to myself, you know, those people, they were my age,
mm-hmm.
50, 60, they built the Hiroshima after that.
Mm.
You know, they may have been only 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
when I was 18 or 20, and then 10 years later, of course, they suffered for 10 years or stuff, but
mm.
10 years later, you know, they grow up and then had a business or did that, and a lot of success story, you know, I hear.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, the war, of course, they went to fight outside, but, you know, after burning, you would think, you know, the Hiroshima would be a dead place, but no.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Those people really worked hard.
Mm-hmm. To revive the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The city is really, you know, yeah, booming now.
Mm-hmm.
Survived, I mean.
Yeah.
And then those people, you know, my friends, their husbands, they're doing fine.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, I have this setup here that lets me make copies of your pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just kind of remind me of those pictures, who they are, and when they were taken, around what time it came from, that would be really great. Let me start this.
This is a nice picture of my auntie and uncle, so you can take that. This is the school that, you know, when I went to Japan, I had more, but I don't know. The rest are...
Yeah, and there are some pictures of your uncle working in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to have a copy of that as well.
Okay. This is the people in Los Angeles, I guess, you know. I don't know if they are business people or what, but when he was in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, this is the soda work that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other one that's working there, maybe this one is better.
Oh, yeah, that one is really terrific.
Yeah.
And there are some pictures over there that, that one with people on the ship. I think those are the ship that went between Japan and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Chichibu really
Maru
great.
Or something. Chichibu Maru and all those Japanese.
Uh-huh.
He was a golfer, you know.
And he was what?
Golf.
Oh, I see.
And those are the Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
those are all Japanese people, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. They are all, you know. And they must be gone. But they were...
So this is, remind me again, she is a sister of your mother,
yes,
correct?
Older
right.
Sister.
Older sister of your mother, right.
She's the one that took me.
Oh, and those are the people who stayed at the hotel in Los Angeles?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's great.
They are, you know, and colonels or animals.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, used to have, olden days, used to have this actor, Charlie Chaplin.
Uh-huh, really?
Yeah, do you know?
Oh, of course.
Heard of him?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. Those days that didn't have sound, huh?
Yeah, it's an all silent movie, yeah.
And
I guess you don't have a picture of Charlie Chaplin, though.
Oh, yeah, him.
You do?
And my uncle. The golf buddies.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This is Charlie Chaplin?
Uh-huh.
He suddenly looks like him. That's funny.
Yeah, that's him.
So remind me, so your uncle was first working in this soda company, and then
he did before that something else, I'm sure.
Okay.
He owned that soda company.
Oh, he owned that soda company.
Yeah.
And then he became an owner of the hotel.
Hotel, yeah.
I see, okay. And that was 1930s maybe, right?
I think so, 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was one of the most successful person in L.A.
Oh,
Japanese community. And he did a lot of community work, you know?
Uh-huh. That's why he was considered to be dangerous before the war started out, right?
Yeah. That's right. So he had to go back to Japan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the government was nice enough to warn him.
Right, yeah. And
because he knows all those, you know, top Navy.
Right.
Generals and
so they wanted to make sure that he's okay.
Yeah. Those people really helped him to be safe, you know, although he didn't live that long.
Do you have other pictures that you haven't shown me yet? I'm very curious about people's pictures. They are really wonderful.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, that's their life, you know?
Yes, exactly. And,
like this guy must have been a famous person in Japan, you know?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
right.
I don't know who they are now. But he's one of the, you know, success story.
Yeah.
And then success, first successful all his life. And he was only around 50, I would say, that his, you know, life became, he had to go back to Japan.
Right, yeah.
Because of that war, you know?
Right.
If it wasn't for the war, he would have been having a, you know, good life, right?
Exactly.
And someone that worked so hard and succeed, and all of a sudden because of the war, it just...
May I see those as well?
It just disappeared. His, you know, his life had...
What did he do after he came back to Japan?
He didn't have a job. He worked, he ran for the council. Of that, you know, area, small councilman. He did a lot of community work for Japan.
He did. Okay.
And he made it's still there, but you know, Kabe, he made this gym, like, you know, a place where young kids can go and play, you know. And it's like he that remind him as a YMCA and
kidding.
In America, you have YMCA. In Japan, they don't have those kind of places where the youth, youth can go, you know?
So your uncle really wanted to make it in Japan as well, so that...
Yeah. He donated the land. He built this building, small one, you know? And he told the youth, you know, they could come and... have meetings and...
That's very interesting that he would be inspired by American
American
facilities.
Way of,
educating kids.
And the baseball and stuff, you know? They have the team, baseball teams and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know who they are, but, you know, these must be kind of important people before.
Right. How about this? Tell me about this picture.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I'm not too sure.
It looks like it's a... Isn't that on a ship?
Yeah, it's on a ship. And why are these ladies in kimono, you know?
Right. That's why I wonder. It looks like they're dressed up for a special occasion, you know?
Yeah. He's way in the back here, but I don't know. This is some kind of...
Who is he?
Huh?
Who do you see that you recognize?
Your uncle? This one, I think.
Your uncle in from Los Angeles, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. May I see the picture?
Way inside.
I see, yeah. It definitely looks like a shark. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not too sure. I don't know if these people stayed, but this is Emperor's brother.
Oh.
Takamatsu no Miya.
Oh, yeah.
And the wife. When they went.
Right.
Los Angeles, you know?
Huh, so it was.
I don't know if they stayed in the hotel or what.
Mm-hmm. But maybe they met, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
At the dinner or something, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He was a very interesting, well, I wouldn't say interesting, but very wise gentleman,
mm-hmm.
My uncle was.
Right. Yeah. How about this picture? Could you please tell me about this?
Oh, this is a baseball team that came to play baseball in L.A., I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
So was your uncle a fan too,
you know, when Japanese team comes, probably stayed in his hotel.
Okay. So that's a Japanese team that came to Los Angeles to fight against the American team, I guess? Or
yeah, play baseball.
Play baseball, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. I'm sorry, it takes for a while. It's making it into a really good quality picture, so that's the reason why it takes some time.
I understand the ink is expensive.
Yeah, well, this is all digital, but even with digital making copies, it takes some time to make a good quality one.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really wonderful images.
It was in an album, and before I, you know, now that I'm older, you know, I took all the pictures and put them in a Ziploc bag. And
I know.
Sometimes my relatives, sometimes they get curious and want to know about uncle and
right.
stuff. Then I just, you know, hand this to them.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
you know, these pictures are. I tell them, you know how old these pictures are? Close
right.
to 100 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Then they say, oh, let me see.
Yeah, yeah. Old pictures are really fascinating because, yeah.
So.
They can surprise you.
Mm. Then I tell my grandchildren, you know your grandma's sister was married to this Sawano, the uncle.
Uh-huh.
He was a really famous guy in Los Angeles way back, you know, 100 years, you know, 80 years ago, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, nah. So I said, yeah. He was very important, I'm telling
yeah,
you. Look
yeah.
at him.
Right,
he
right.
knew Charlie Chaplin, you know.
Right, yeah. I know, there's this picture. Well, how about your picture from Hawaii when you were a little girl? You know, this is taken in Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, yeah, in a studio.
Yeah, may I take this out
yeah.
and make a copy of
oh,
this?
Oh, okay.
This is wonderful image. Do you think
olden
it's from
days, huh?
1920s, right? 1920s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be around 1920. I'm around 4 or 5 years old, so
mm-hmm.
1920.
22, yeah. Do you have a picture from Hawaii? From that era as well?
Not too many, you know.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think we had cameras, you know. We had to go to a studio to take pictures.
Yeah, so this is one of the few that you have.
Okay. Oh, that's one of the pictures. Let me see. Yeah, one of the few because, you know, We didn't have. Oh, here's some pictures too. This is that.
This is from behind. Oh. Yeah. Oh. This is not part of the frame.
Mm. Mm. I'll make a copy of
the signed version. Oh
you,
yes.
You could make copy with that, huh? No.
But I need to have the one that has your signature on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me.
My copy doesn't make back and forth, so I'm gonna make it into two.
Okay, two sides. Okay.
Yeah, two sides.
Let me do this, and I'll get you a copy with your signature on.
Okay.
I have it here.
Yeah, I thought maybe you saved it from trouble.
Here's a copy.
Okay. Are you okay, Naren? Who's Mimi? Okay.